The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To download this series of shiurim, as well as hundreds of other recorded shiurim, articles, and video presentations, please visit thehalachacenter.org.
Shabbos Daf Pehe. The Gemara offers an original interpretation of the pasuk Lesatz Gvul Reecho, pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Shoftim. Actually, we're learning the sugya of Klayim, and the Pashut Pshat in the pasuk Lesatz Gvul Reecho is not to move over a fence in order to make one's field larger at the expense of a neighbor. One of the things that a person could do without being noticed is to move over the fence and thereby gain a few extra feet for himself at the expense of somebody else. There's a law against that called Lesatz Gvul Reecho. According to many Rishonim, this is only in Eretz Yisrael, this lav, otherwise it's just gezel. One doesn't have the added severity of the lav Lesatz Gvul Reecho. The Gemara, by us, in Daf Pehei, proposes that Lesatz Gvul Reecho is also when one plants a field together, a klai akerim, by taking over that field, uprooting the fidelity of that field to the Ratz Nabayri, and by planting it as klai akerim, one is also being oiker that field, so to speak. That's also Lesatzig Gvul Reecho. Tosis in Divrei Maskil, Lesatzig Gvul Reecho, asks a question. We find in the Gemaras, in the Mishnayis, that one who plants Zerea B'Klayim is loike only one Malkus for Zerea B'Klayim. One is not over two Malkus. In L'Chor, there should be Malkus also for Lesatzig Gvul Reecho. The Gemara says you're over a lav. Why shouldn't they be Malkus for it? You're doing the lav sheyesh b'maisa. You're doing a maisa of planting the field in a way that's also should be two malchus. So Taisu says, "V'yesh loyma, the loy loki ahay lav meshuv dekro nami ayri basogas gvul mamish." The pasuk is actually, even if you take the pasuk as this way of violating the field by planting it as klai akerim, of course the pasuk pshat and the pasuk is also that one cannot take away a field from somebody by moving over the fence. Therefore, he says, "Ein loikin b'lav dinitnli shavon." There's a cloud that one does not get malchus on a lav which carries with it monetary repercussions. Any lav that has with it a din to pay, there is no malchus. It's lav anitnli shavon. It's mechayiv a tashlum. It's mechayiv paying money. Therefore, since the lav over here is talking about also moving over the fence, somebody's field, in which case the halakha would be mechayiv to move back, to give back that field, to move back over the fence. Therefore, it's nidli shavoin, also on the lav of klai akerim, on the planting the field of klai akerim, one would not be able to get malchus, because the lav of nidli shavoin is very difficult. Does that mean that even in a case where one cannot give back the field, that there would be, that it's called a lav of nidli shavoin? The pashtus, if one plants klai akerim, one would not have to pay the person for the field. It's not something that one could undo. How would that be called lav hanitnu lishavon? What I'd like to do is I'd like to, in understanding this Tosfos Paskin, a shaila, present you with a shaila, which is discussed in one of the svarim today, and a deeper understanding of this idea of lav hanitnu lishavon will lead us to an interesting psak halacha. This is a totally unrelated sugya, the sugya of the lav of baltolim, which is the Isser, I'm not paying a worker on time. Anybody who hires a worker for anything, this is one of the most common chosh and mishpat violations that people are habitually unaware of, is the chiyuv to pay workers on time. At least as far as the worker is makbid. One who's struggling to meet a payroll can ask the worker's permission, but otherwise he has to borrow money in order to be able to pay his workers on time. In any case, the lava baltolin, which is mechayim to pay, if the work finished that day, he has to pay them by sunset. If the work finished by night, he has to pay by sunrise. Here's a case. A person hired a painter or a carpenter. The worker did a certain amount of work, painted the house. He finishes the work, he asks for payment. As far as the person who ordered the work is concerned, the work was not done well. He was supposed to pay $1,000 for the paint. He feels that the quality is not up to par. He wants him to come back tomorrow and repaint certain sections. The painter, of course, pleads for himself and claims that he does not owe any money. He says he does not owe any work. The work was done satisfactorily. That's the standard of work that was agreed on. Where's my $1,000? One of the poskim, One of the prominent poskim of a few generations ago suggested that even though the halacha is that whenever there's a dispute, monetary halacha, the klal is possession is 9/10 of the law. Hamotzi mechavel of a raya, the one who wants his money from the other party has to prove that he's in the right. Here, you wouldn't be able to hold on to your money in order to be on the possessor's side of the fence. You would have to pay, and then you would have to try to retrieve your money in a bezdin by claiming that the work was not done properly. Why do you have to pay? Why give the money and then have to fight afterwards? Hold on to your money. He says, because there's a law, there's an issur of Baal Tolman. Even though in Molin, he who is the possessor wins, but that's only when we're talking about Dine Molin. Baal Tolman is an issur, he says. And if it's an issur, you have to pay, and thereafter try to fight your way out of it in Bezin and get your money back. As I stated in one of the Sifrei Gedolei HaPoskim from a few generations ago, I believe that this psak is a mistake. Discussed this with other poskim who agree that it's clear not that way. The Rambam says that if somebody's over on Baal Tolan, then he does not get Malkis. If somebody did not pay or he violated his law, he doesn't get Malkis because it's Nitin Lishovin. The same klal of it has a monetary repercussion, you have to pay. Of course you have to pay, but paying tomorrow is not going to undo the law. The law is not that you didn't pay. The law is that you didn't pay on time. Paying afterwards is not going to undo the fact that you didn't pay on time. It would seem clear from the Rambam that this idea of a law which is has monetary repercussions doesn't mean that practically there's something monetary you can do to fix up the law. What it means is that there are two areas of Torah law. Only one has Malkus, one does not have Malkus. The area of Torah, which deals with this, Veheter, Arayis, Machos, Asuris, that is the part of Torah where the Torah gave, instituted either Dine Nefoshos or Malkis on Chag Elavin. However, anything that's related to Mammon is a different part of Torah. Monetary law, which by nature carries with it monetary consideration, and monetary repercussions does not have a din malchus. Malchus has to do with isurim. Malchus is for crimes, so to speak, ben adam l'mokoyim. Anything which is ben adam l'chaveroi, in a sense of monetary, does not have malchus because it's an area of the Torah that's nitin lishovin. It's true that practically one cannot do anything about the law of Baal Tolan. If one didn't pay on time, you can't make the clock roll backwards. If I didn't pay a worker that I was supposed to pay on Tuesday till Wednesday, I didn't undo the fact that I didn't pay him on Tuesday. But since the mechayiv of paying him on time is a monetary consideration, it's a chiyuv to honor my monetary commitments on time. Therefore, it is not shayach to the dinim of Torah, which carry with it a penalty of malchus. It's not shayach to dinim of malchus, and therefore, this pasuk said that there's a din of Savi Deraisa L'chumra on Baal Tolan. L'chumra is not true. The nature of Baal Tolan is monetary. Anything that's monetary has a din of Amoitz Mechavel of Araya. If one did not pay it, one is not Mechuyiv to pay, and one would be allowed to hold on to the money at Fakir. He would be allowed to go to Bezdin. He would be allowed to wait until the painter would sue him in Bezdin. Would sue him in Bezdin in order to get his payment. This is Me'inyan Le'inyan, a psak halacha that comes out from a proper understanding of the nature of different halachas. One understands that Baal Tolan is by nature a monetary halacha, then it doesn't make sense that there should be a klal of Sabbat Dereis L'chum. It's Dine Momen. Dine Momen have a din of Sabbat Momen L'kula. Amot Zvechav Al-Varayah. It's only Isurim, Machol Sasuris and such, Shabbos, Yomtif, Arayis, that have with it a din of Sof Deraisa L'chumra. Momen has with it a klal, as a general rule, of Sof Momen L'chumra. One can hold on to his Momen until it's proven in Bezdin that one has to pay. So therefore, he would not have to pay and then try to retrieve his money. He does not have to pay until the painter would prove that he actually owes the money. Getting back to our Taisus, the pshat is very simple. What Taisus means to say is that since the Torah is talking about something which is financial by nature, the Torah is talking about the violating some of the integrity of somebody else's field in a monetary way. So therefore, that's a lava nitin l'sham. That part of Torah, that area of Torah, that has nothing to do with Malkus. monetary halacha and itse veheter halacha is two different things. Monetary halacha, monetary dinim, lavin and esin do not have with it the din of malchus. They don't have the din of misa either, but they do not have the din of malchus. If there's no din of malchus, then even if the lav cannot be rectified with his shovan befoil, one cannot pay back by destroying somebody else's field, by planting it up, destroying it with klai hakerem. Still, it's a lava nitinli shovoin. It's by nature shaykh to the area of Torah, which is financial, and that is the veheter. Therefore, there's no malchus. That's what Taisa means when he says it's a lava nitinli shovoin.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.